Okay, guys, a lot of y'all have been here during this series, but it's praying the Psalms. We really wanted to kind of take y'all through a selection of Psalms, really focused on prayer, and have different people come up throughout the summer and share a Psalm that's really impacted them and how it's impacted their prayer lives, and in an effort to kind of familiarize you guys with the Psalms and the great benefit that they are to us as believers. So Micah and Orlando are going to come up this morning and share. Micah and Orlando have been a part of our ministry for four years. Yeah. Micah was the OG. Then Orlando kind of joined. You know, he might be beating her out at this point, but probably not. One flesh, you know. So we are going to pray, and then we'll have about 15 minutes, do basically three different stages. First, we'll be sharing. The second will be a time of personal reflection and prayer. It's kind of confusing because the front page of that handout, and these are handouts that we've had since the very first session of the series. So that's just to help you guys during your time of personal reflection and prayer. But group discussions are actually on the front page. And then Mike and Orlando have provided some reflections under Psalm reflection for you guys during the 15 minutes in the middle. So hopefully that will help you guys in the middle, and then we'll have group discussion at the end. Okay, please bow your heads with me. Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us just in providing this community and this space for us to gather together and to learn more about you and learn more about ourselves and what it looks like to live a life that honors and glorifies you. I just pray for Micah and Orlando as they share this morning that you would calm them, that you would give them strength and boldness to proclaim and testify about what you've done in their lives through your word. Lord, I ask that you would sharpen our minds and soften our hearts as we move into personal reflection and prayer, that we would see communicating with you as a normal and necessary function of the Christian life, and that it would draw us into a deeper relationship with you by the power of your Spirit. Thank you again for this time, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's working. All right, guys, good morning. Like Reynolds said, my name is Orlando. This is my wife, Micah. We're the Martinezes. We're going to be going through book three of the five books of Psalms. So we're going through book three, and we're going to be in Psalm 73, if you want to flip there and get ready. It's the first psalm in book three of the Psalms. And yeah, we're excited to walk through this with you guys.
Book three is considered to be one of the most somber sections of the entire book of Psalms, and we are really excited to dive into just one of them today because I think it's a good reminder as believers to sometimes just be in a somber section and just be reminded of our sin and our wickedness and our evil tendencies, because at the end of the day, if we don't recognize our sin and our wickedness, the gospel just has no meaning. And so we're going to look at Psalm 73. Just say a quick prayer.
Yeah. Dear Lord, just pray for this time, God, that you would just speak through us through this psalm. And I just pray as we go through this theme, God, that we could just see that in our lives and see how you use this text at the time for Asaph, the writer of this psalm, and for the people at the time, and how you were good to give it to us now, Lord, and it could still give us wisdom and strength and encouragement today, God. So I just pray that you would use this psalm to encourage us, and that we would live out this moment when we need it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to read the first half, and Orlando will end it. So, a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was King David's head worship leader. And how many of the books of Psalm did he read, right? The majority of book three. So, here we go. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence.
For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So the main theme in this psalm, Psalm 73, that Asaph is outlining here and that we'll go through is not an uncommon one. It's seen a lot throughout the Bible, specifically Psalm 37, Psalm 49. And if you've read the book of Job, it's basically the entire book of Job, this theme of if God is good and just, then why does it seem that the wicked are prosperous and the righteous seem to suffer, right? Like, how do you deal with that? How does that make sense? And Asaph here, in the very beginning, lines that up for us and brings it to the Lord of he's realizing this in the world that he's living in, and he's just trying to figure out, like, how does that make sense?
Yeah, you'll see, before we jump into his lament and his frustrations and what he's wrestling with, I want to turn your attention to verse 1. I just think this is a really beautiful picture of how we should frame our prayers, even when it is a prayer of lament or frustration. He says, truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And I just really like that he establishes his prayer with this, because even though he's upset with God and he's about to just wrestle with him, he knows the truth at his core. And I think this is a really good practice for us. And Charles Spurgeon says it better than I can. He says, the writer does not doubt that God is good, but lays it down as his firm conviction. It is well to make sure of what we do know, for this will be a good anchor hold for us when we are molested by those mysterious storms which arise from things which we do not understand. So I just really like that he starts his prayer with this, even though it's not necessarily a prayer of joy at first.
And then Asaph goes from that truth statement into explaining to God like what he's feeling and what he's seeing. So he admits that, you know, he had almost slipped. He was envious of what he was seeing. And what he was seeing is he was just seeing the wicked just seem like they were just doing good in the world. Him, his brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, laying your life down for Christ, putting your body aside, putting your sin and your flesh down. It's not easy. It's difficult. You're fighting the world. You're fighting whatever trends are happening. That time, the current world that we're living in, he said he saw that they seemed healthy. They seemed wealthy. It says here they were their eyes swelled through their fatness. They're well fed. They were just like consuming everything and whatever they wanted. There was no sort of putting anything to death and no sort of pursuing the Lord. And Asaph was just trying to figure out, like, man, why? Like, why are they doing so well if they have forsaken God? And in verse 3, he says, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he was just like, it seems like they're living a good life, and he's just doing this internal wrestle with himself. And I think that's just relevant for today, even just in our own lives, of how quickly we can become envious of what other people have, what we don't have. Specifically in this psalm, he's talking about people that are not believers, right? People that are not following the Lord and are still kind of boasted up. I think for me, being a husband and, you know, wanting to care for my family and even just other people in this room that, you know, are just trying to support people. It's just hard to see other people kind of ahead of you, either in job or maybe someone has a house already. Maybe someone has the car. Maybe someone has the family. Maybe you didn't have a good family life. Someone else has a good family. I think it's just so quickly our hearts just kind of become envious or angry or resentful towards God or towards that person. I know for me specifically, like that's something I've struggled with. And it's just encouraging to see Asaph. And we'll continue to go through it. And it gets a lot of wisdom gets brought into us on how to deal with that in the middle section here. But I think it's good to know that we can take that to the Lord and he's calling us to bring that to him. And he wants to hear us. He doesn't want us to bottle it up. He doesn't want us to run away from it or hide from it. He's like, these are real emotions. And then Asaph really does a good job here of like outlining it in a really, really smart way.
Yeah, and you could even take the example of envying the wicked wider. You can just look at our world and our culture, social media. You can just compare your life to someone you don't even know. At least for me, I can look at a celebrity and be like, why do they seem to have all the fame and success and all the money that I could desire, and they're not even seeking after the Lord? Like, they are living with no consequence. It doesn't seem like they deserve this. And then I have to remember, well, I don't deserve it either. But that's how Asaph is feeling here. But we reach a turning point in verse 16. After he has laid out his lament, he says, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed a wearisome task until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. And this is such an encouragement to me that when we come to the end of our means or just the end of ourselves, at the end of the day, we can't reconcile things in our own ability. We have to go to the Lord. And so after verse 16 and 17, you see his heart posture change. And Orlando's going to talk a little more.
So I think this section right here, these two verses are my favorite little verses here just because of how direct it is. There is no kind of confusion on what happens here. If you go to verse 16, it says, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. And I relate to that so much because Asaph just came, he came to the end of himself. He came to the end of man. He was trying to understand his dilemma of like, why does it seem like the wicked are prospering, but me and my righteous brothers and sisters were struggling. This is difficult. We're being persecuted. This is hard. And he came to the end of himself. And that's where I find myself a lot, just trying to use human resolve, human wisdom. And it could only take you so far. It is not the Lord. It is not his goodness. It is not his wisdom. So we hit a wall like this. And literally the exact next word is until. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. So how encouraging is that? One, that Asaph knew where to go. He went to the sanctuary of the Lord. He went straight to God to find his answers. That was God right there telling us to come. Just kidding. He went to the sanctuary of God, and that's where he found his answers. Like, he went straight to his people and to God. And I feel like not only for us, like, that it should be how I react, and that's not what I do all the time. I don't go straight to the sanctuary of God. I do not. But we all know that that's where the answers are. And Asaph here, living testimony, he was at the end of himself. Could not figure it out. Went straight to the sanctuary of God. And then the next line, then I discerned their end. The Lord showed him. The Lord is gracious and humble to meet us there. He met Asaph there. He answered Asaph. He gave Asaph the peace. And then the rest, which Mike is going to get into, the rest of this psalm becomes a praise to the Lord and a reminder of how we started this psalm of, you are good. You are God.
Yeah, it's really incredible to see like the complete 180 he has after he seeks the Lord for wisdom. This whole psalm kind of reminds me of a parabola where he starts really high and he says, truly God is good for Israel, but I'm really frustrated about all this stuff. I'm at a low point. But then I went to the sanctuary, and then he's praising for the rest. You can see where he starts in verse 18 to speak highly of the Lord and just speak more truth to himself. I specifically really love verse 25. It's such a good reminder. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. And I just think this is a really interesting combatment to everything he's just said about really envying the wicked. But if you think about it, if he's coveting after all of these earthly things, he can't take any of them to heaven. And so it's really beautiful to see him come to that realization in verse 25, where, yes, you can want the nice car, you can want the cushy job, but at the end of the day, who do you have but the Lord? And then he ends with verse 28. It's just such a great exclamation point, I think, on the entire psalm. But for me, it is good to be near God. I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell all of your works. I think this is such a concise mindset that we should all have as believers. For me, it is good to be with the Lord. Despite all that I see out in the world, despite the riches and the earthly wisdom I could have, for me, it is good to go to the Lord. So I think that's a really beautiful ending.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys have this annotation, but on verse 26, where it says strength, it says down at the bottom here that Hebrew is said rock. So it's, you could read it as my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. And so just like that steady, steadfast, never changing, never moving, which I think we put this as one of the questions, but like, and it's also like some commentaries are like, what did Asaph see at the sanctuary of God? Like what, he went to basically to church, you could say in our terms. And was it, did he see a sacrifice? Did he see, he was a chief worship leader for King David. Did he worship? What was it, prayer? Was it community? Was it just the Lord's moving in his heart? I feel like all those is like yes and no, that's more in the weeds. But I think all that pushed him towards God and knowing that that's the rock that's never going to change. And he figured out, man, these wicked people are just living for themselves. And that's, once their time on earth is done, that's it. Their eternity is not set. Their peace is not really set. And so that's it for Psalm 73, guys. We have some questions on there. So we're going to do like about 10 to 15 minutes of quiet time. Reno's going to get some music on the speaker and you guys can read this again. Just really meditate on it, spend time in prayer, speak to the Lord. We have some, in the Psalm section, me and Micah wrote some questions for you guys that are more tailored to this specific Psalm, but there's also other questions that they've been doing this whole summer throughout the study. And then after that, we'll come back and guide you guys into some table discussion so you can talk with each other about the Psalm and anything else on your hearts. But I'm gonna pray us out and we can get started. Dear Lord, thank you for this reminder, Lord. Thank you for, yep, you're here. Thank you for giving us Asaph, Lord, and this writing that is so old, yet it's so true today, God, of how beautiful is this book that we have, that we're able just to read it, and it's generational, it's eternal, it's breathing, and it's living, and it's talking to us today, Lord. So I pray that we would treat it like that we would treat it as you speaking to us. It's not just some letters on a page, but it's your word, God, breathing and living. So I pray for this time, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.